People don't like to hear the truth sometimes. Sometimes they love to hear the truth when it lines up with what, you know, they're doing or thinking. But for the most part, the truth kind of sets us on our heels. In this series that we've been doing on fighting the good fight, spiritual warfare, it's got a lot of truth in it. And I realize that every week I kind of go over some of the past things, and I hope you don't get bored with this. But I'm going to do it again, kind of catch us up. We've had Mission Sunday. We've had Father's Day. But we're still on the good fight here. We're still in spiritual warfare. In fact, this is the sixth installment of our series. And we've covered a lot. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And he knew what he was talking about. This was late in his years. And he knew what it was to fight for Christ. He knew what it was to struggle with the enemy. And in the Bible, we find out to be effective in spiritual warfare, we need to know three things. We need to know, first of all, who we are, who the enemy is, and how to fight. And we talked about who you are, who we are, and we become and are what we know and what we think. And we looked into James 22:25. And that scripture pretty much kind of lays the groundwork for what Zig Ziglar said. In repetition is the mother of learning, the father of action, which makes it the architect of accomplishment. If you do it over and over and over and over again, pretty soon you don't even have to think about it. It's just who you are. How many of you can ride a bicycle? Or could at one point in time, okay? How many of you, after you started riding the bicycle, had to think about it? I mean, you just got on the bicycle and you rode it, right? Because it became a part of who you are. And it's the same way with Scripture. It's the same way with the truth. If you put it in there and put it in there and put it in there, it becomes who you are, okay? And we learned that in Ephesians 1, 3 through 10, we find out who we are. There's a lot of I ams in the Word of God there. And once we found that out, we find out that because of who we are in Christ, we are His presence on earth. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, 9 through 10, 1 Corinthians 3, 16, they all say that we are the temple, we are the living place of the living God. God lives within us, and wherever we go, we pack Him around, right? And if we're not packing God around, we're packing the devil around. So make sure that you get up every morning and you're full of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because if you leave yourself empty, the enemy will sneak in there, and he will let you pack him around for the rest of the day. He will let you pack him around in attitudes. He will let you pack him around, you know, in all kinds of behaviors. And so how many of you have had those days when you're pretty sure that you were packing the devil around, right? We've been there. Yep. Okay. So we want to know that God is in us and we are what we eat. The primary value of our life is what we contain inside ourselves. And after my little bout Friday, I won't be eating pizza for a while. And you guys know how much I love pizza. But you want to know something? When you get a taste of something and it's a bad taste and you know that it's poison, you're not going to eat it for a while. And that's the way it is with the world. If you start eating the truth of God, you know when you've eaten something that doesn't quite line up. You know that. And that's the way God's Word is, okay? The primary value of our life is what we contain inside. 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 12. And I got all this in your bulletin, so if you missed one of these, you can go back and you can fill yourself in. You can go online, because I'm leaving all of these sermons online on the website. And then, last time we met, a couple weeks ago, we started talking about who the enemy is. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6. And we found out that we are our most dangerous enemy. I have found the enemy, and he is me. Our mind is the first place that the enemy is going to attack us. It's the first place that he's going to try to defeat us. And if we let him do that, we are our worst enemy. Our past can mold our future, or we can make a new future with God every day. And we need to do that. Joyce Meyer, she wrote a wonderful book called The Battlefield of the Mind. And in that book, she says, when a person is going through a hard time, his mind wants to give up. His mind wants to give up. Satan knows that if he can defeat us in our mind, he can defeat us in our experience. That's why it is so important that we not lose heart and grow weary and faint. Our mind is trained and influenced by our past. But Jeremiah 29 says that God has a hope and a future for us. That's God's plan. That's God's past, present, and future for us. And we need to know that with everything that we are. So we know that our mind can be a very, very, very dangerous enemy. So how do we take our mind and put it in a place that the enemy can't have it? Well, there are some very effective tools to defeat the enemy in our mind. And I'm gonna give you the first one that I believe is probably the finest and foremost, and that is praise. That is praise. I hope that you're like me. I hope that when you leave here, you spend the rest of the week with praise songs going through your mind. I hope you do. Because if you do that, you're going to stay in a different place than if you just let the enemy kind of have his way. You know, people say, well, I don't know if music is that influential. I said, are you kidding me? Wow, look at all the different genres of music. And if you looked at all of the different styles of music going on and you looked at the cultures that follow them, you will find that they are influenced by their genres. Okay? Rappers. Do you know that per capita there are more people getting shot in gangs that listen to rap music? Did you know that there's a higher percentage of people who get divorces who listen to country and western music? Did you know this? And there's a lot of those people that lose their horse in their ranch too. And their dog usually dies, okay? But did you know that people that listen to praise and worship music throughout their lifetime, do you know that they have a healthier, a happier, and a more stable life? It proves itself in the studies. So praise is very, very, very important. In 2 Chronicles 21 through 22, there's this amazing example of how praise is supposed to go before us. God sets these things up in the Old Testament as lessons for us, as learning tools, as an example of what our life is supposed to be. It's not just a battle. It's not just history. It's not just a story. It's about Jehoshaphat when he defeats Moab and Ammon. And I want to go to 2 Chronicles. It's not going to be up on the screen. I'm going to read it. I'm going to go through this really quick. I want you to kind of listen to this like I'm reading to you in the library. Okay? It's story time. Here we go. Okay? After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Menuhites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel and Judah. Okay? And they were having some problems. They had a lot of enemies around them. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army, not just a little one, but a vast army is coming against you from Eden, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazeron Tamar, that is, in Gedi, which is a desert. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Instead of being alarmed, you know, packed up his camel and took off, he inquired of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. At that time, there was also a king of Israel. There was a split kingdom. Judah wasn't a real big kingdom. And this vast army came against them to defeat them and put them, you know, under the suppression of their rule. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard, and he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of all the nations, and you have power and might, and it is in your hand. And no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it, and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a pretty good prayer, isn't it? He went and inquired of the Lord because he had this enemy that he knew he could not defeat. He had this enemy that he knew could just overwhelm their country with little you know, hardship at all, with quite a bit of ease, in fact. And all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Just in case you're wondering who this guy is. Right? And if you look at this guy's lineage, he comes from priests and prophets. And his lineage, everybody listen to this guy because like, wow, Zechariah, wow, Asaph, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jurel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat anointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. This story is very interesting because it shows us how powerful praise is. Have you ever felt like there was a vast army in your head and you just could not defeat it? Have you ever felt like the darkness was just so heavy within you that it was never going to go away? Well, God shows us right here how his power works. First of all, we need to take our fear and doubt and discouragement to God. Verse 4, it says, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. This wasn't just a small assembly of like 4 or 5 or 20 or 30 people. This was the assembly of all of Judah. They came and they said, Lord, we're here. The first thing we need to do is we need to seek God. We need to take our fear and discouragement to God. But a lot of times people, they just take it to God and then they don't know what else to do with it. But the next thing that we need to do is what they did. You see, you take your fear to God. Okay? And then you take God to your fear. Get it? You say, God, I've got this fear. And you're facing that fear and you're looking at that fear. And that fear is like a mountain before you. But don't stand there alone just telling God about your fear. Turn around and say, okay, God, there it is. Okay, fear, this is my God. This is what my God does. This is who my God is. You remember that prayer? Jehoshaphat, he said, he stood up in the assembly in verses 5 and 6 of Judah and Jerusalem in the temple of the Lord in front of the courtyard, and he said this, Lord, the God of our ancestors, you are not the God. Are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of all the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Sometimes we need to remind the enemy, whatever that is, whether it's fear, doubt, unforgiveness, whatever it is, we need you to say, look, my God can do anything. My God can do anything. My God is the God who said, let there be light, and there was light. There was not light out of nothingness, and it just came to be. He created everything out of nothing. That's my God. And my God created order in the universe, and my God controls the order in the universe. And even if it looks like things aren't going quite right, because, I mean, can you think about Jehoshaphat and all these people in Judah? There's this army, I mean this vast army out over the desert. This whole army's out there. In fact, there's three armies out there. And they're coming up the pass, and they're coming right at Bethlehem, right at Jerusalem. And they go to God, and they say, okay, God, there they are. And coming in front of that enemy are the hordes of hell. You know that Satan was behind this. Satan incited the hearts of those kings to come against Israel because he hates the righteousness of God. He hates the children of God. And so Jehoshaphat, he went to the Lord and he said, okay, God, there they are. There they are. There's the mountain. Go for it. Go for it. Now, the hardest part at this point in time, okay, we've accepted the fear, we've identified it, we've sent God loose on a path to take care of our fear, to take care of our dark, to take care of whatever it is. This is the hardest part. Surrendering to God's course of action. Ouch. Verse 9, if calamity comes upon us. A lot of people, they miss that part of the prayer. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment, because, you know, Jehoshaphat's like, well, maybe we did something wrong. Maybe God's using these people to judge us and teach us a lesson, okay? Or plague, or famine, because he knows the history of the Israelites coming across the wilderness out of Egypt. He said, if this happens, okay, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. He said, we're going to stand right here, and we're going to die in the process of being delivered. This is a do-or-die attitude. And you know, a lot of times we give up because we don't have that do-or-die attitude. It's like, God's going to do it. He might not do it the way I want him to do it, but he's going to do it, and I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to wait. And then here's the next thing we need to do. Number 4, we need to continue to put our praise of God in front of us. It says in verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. You notice what they did? They put the singers out in front of the army. Man, I tell you what, I'm glad I wasn't on Jehoshaphat's worship team. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, really? Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. I mean, you know, really. I mean, I would much rather to go out there with a sword than I would a bass guitar. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe an electric bass would be a little more effective. They're a little more solid. But, I mean, how would any of you like to have been on Jehoshaphat's worship team? And he says, okay, I want all you singers and all you trumpet players and all you lyre players. You guys go on, get out there in front. And it's like, say what? Excuse me? And you know, so many times, what happens? The enemy, he attacks us, and he attacks us, and God says, you keep that praise out in front of you. And you're like, God, I am so tired of praising you through this. I just don't want to praise you anymore because my hind end is so sore from getting kicked and getting beat up. And Lord, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And God says, praise me. And oh, God, I don't know if I can praise you anymore. Praise me. Oh, God, please, I don't think I can do this anymore. Praise me. And eventually, you know what happens? What happens? We get a little discouraged, right? Because we're still praising. But point 6 is, don't be discouraged if the victory is not evident right away. I want to read something for you. Verse 21, it says, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laying on the ground. No one had escaped. This was going on as they were walking out with their bass guitars, praising God before they got there. If you look at the lay of the land, okay, let's just say real high is Jerusalem in this valley. A little bit lower is Bethlehem. And as you go further down south, okay, it turns into a desert. And there's this valley. And All these armies were coming up this desert when this valley narrows out. And you've got to walk. As they were walking towards the desert, there's this kind of drop-off. They couldn't see it from where they're coming down from Jerusalem. They couldn't see it. So here's all the singers out in front of the army, and they're walking down there. And, you know, I'm sure the army's thinking, Jehoshaphat is off his nut, man. We should be out there. You know, maybe, you know, the nice thing is, I can hear one guy saying, you know, the nice thing is, by the time they kill all those guys, they're going to be a little tired. But the minute, the second they started praying, you know what happened? The Ammonites turned on the Moabites. And the men from the mountain of Seir, they all turned on each other. And by the time the army of Judah got there, they were already destroyed. But it happened the second they started praising God. So in the heavenlies, maybe you don't see it down here on earth because you're walking in the battle. And you're thinking about all these things going on. But you want to know something? You haven't got to that place where you look down into the desert and you see what God has done. But you got to walk to the desert. You got to walk to the desert. But God is doing things in the heavenlies right now. I know some of us have been praying for years for things and we're like, is this ever going to come about? And you want to know something? God has been doing things in the heavenlies. The second you started praying. You want to know the hardest thing in the world to move? Men and women's hearts. And God does it. And He starts in the heavenlies. And that's what God's all about. He says, don't get discouraged. You know, don't get discouraged if the victory's not away. I'm doing something. You know? You see, when your mind is in the valley of despair, when your mind is walking in life and all you can see, maybe you don't see it with your eyes, maybe you don't visualize it yet, but your mind is seeing this despair. You're like, okay, we're walking right into it. And I've been walking into it, and it's never changing, it's never going on. But God says, I will turn your valley of despair into a valley of blessing. Now, a lot of people, and I've heard pastors teach this scripture a little bit wrongly because they don't make a break right here. They say, God just turned that valley of desert into despair. No, that valley of desert, it stayed the valley of desert. And to this day, it is a desert. And if you go to Israel, where that battle was, it's a desert. And it's very possible that Armageddon is going to happen in that valley. But you see, then they read about this. They say in verses 25, 26, so Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment, clothing, and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. And this is why it is called the Valley of Baraka this day. And a lot of people teach that valley that was the battle, then they called that valley the Valley of Praise. No, they didn't. They left that valley of the desert, and they walked away from it. And this is a really, really good lesson for us. You want to know something? When God takes that desert and whatever it is, and He defeats it, He wants you to turn around and leave it there. And whatever it was of value that you learned there, you need to take it. Because the Valley of Praise and the Valley of Baraka is up by Jerusalem, which is where the temple of God is. And if you go to Israel this day, that valley is beautiful. In fact, one time somebody came up from the southern part of Israel, they went through the desert and they said, we never thought we were going to see green. And they came to that valley, the Valley of Baraka, the Valley of Praise. And that's why it's called that from this day. It's where praise was transformed into a blessing, because that word, a lot of people, they just translate it blessing or praise, but it's more than that. It's way more than that. In the Hebrew, this word means blessing, and it's a blessing that has to do with the act of giving someone freedom to do whatever they want to do. Now think about it. God has given us the freedom to choose to do whatever we want to do. And you can take that blessing and that freedom, and you can walk away from it, and you can forget about it, and you can just go on and spend your life away. Or you can look at that blessing, you can look at that victory, and you can take that and you can live for God, because you can say, God, you delivered me there. I'm not living in the valley of the curse, the valley of the battle, the valley of the desert. I'm living in the valley of praise and worship. In fact, that word means to bend your knee but also to be able to walk with your legs, bend your knees freely, and go where you want to go. I don't know about you, but when God delivers me from a situation, I want to go where He wants me to go. And that might mean that once in a while we got to leave that valley of blessing and praise, and we got to go back down, and we got to go, okay, I'm going to grab my instrument, I'm going to start praising towards the desert. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it because God has all of our best interests in His heart. You see, that's where praise is transformed into blessing, is in the desert. Praise is transformed into blessing. God has put it in our hearts to desire to enjoy His freedom. God created mankind free to choose, and Adam did not choose well. And we still have that choice, and we can choose well. When we come to Christ Jesus, when we have all the power and the ability and the salvation, everything that Jesus offers, we can choose His freedom. We can choose not to live in sin, not to live in death. And we can pass that blessing and that desire on to others. That's the kind of freedom that God wants us to walk in. So I encourage you, be warriors of praise, be warriors of worship, and know that God is bringing a breakthrough. Let's pray. Father God, we love You so much, and we thank You that, Lord, even though at times life looks very, very bleak, we know, Lord, that if we walk towards what You have us in, Lord, we know that eventually there will be a breakthrough. Eventually, Lord, You will turn our praise into blessing. Father, all through the Bible, You promise this. And Lord, we don't know what the circumstances look like. We don't know what the outcome is. But we know at the end of our journey that, Lord, our praise for You will be turned into blessing. We know, Lord, that we have a place in heaven. We know that, Lord, the battle may be long and hard, but we know, Lord, that our place with You in heaven is worth every moment. So, Father, I pray that You will encourage us, that You will strengthen us, that You will empower us, that You will fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit to walk where You want us to walk and to praise where You want us to praise. In Jesus' name, amen.